again, and welcome to Kitchen Finks, casual Magic podcast focusing on 60-card multiplayer and occasionally branching out. I am your host, Kendall. With me, as always, is Ian.
Hi, guys.
And Will.
Hey, folks.
All right, well, as we are recording this, it is St. Patrick's Day, which combines two of my favorite things, the color green and drinking on a weekday. not drinking tonight because of reasons that I say that I have, but, you know, also podcasting. I would never drink while on podcast.
Of course not.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about the color green. Now, we do, full disclosure, we are aware that we did a podcast,
on green a couple months ago.
Well, it wasn't on green, we did it on ramp.
Yeah, well.
But we have been doing a podcast specifically geared towards each color, and I feel like we're a casual Magic podcast. If we're going to do a podcast on each color, green deserves two. Because casual.
It is also the fattest color.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, when we recorded that the green podcast, it was when I was working at that terrible job that I had a few months ago, and so I don't remember anything from that era of my life. I've blocked most of it out, so. Green
has some advantages and some disadvantages.
I think it's a color. It's interesting because it's one of the colors. I mean, obviously black can't deal with artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
And red, and I mean, obviously every color is distinct and stuff, but green, I feel like, is the color that has, that its strengths are very, very, very clear, and its weaknesses are very, very, very clear. Its biggest strength is its big creatures, and its biggest weakness is its lack of removal spells. Creature removal spells.
Yep, and there are certainly some examples. I was looking it up, Some examples of green removal can be things like Lignify, which turns your opponent's creature into a 0/4 tree folk with no abilities. Utopia Vow basically pacifies a creature, but it allows it to tap for mana of any color. And Desert Twister can kill anything for way too much mana.
Prey Upon makes two creatures fight.
Mm-hmm. Snake Form turns creatures into snakes.
Beast Within turns non... What does Beast Within target?
Doesn't it target, like, everything?
Isn't it non-land permanent?
I believe it's non-land permanence, and changes it into a 3/3 beast. That was apparently Within.
Beast Within.
There is also a spell called Beast Within.
Destroy target permanent. Damage. Its controller gets a 3/3, so it's any permanent.
Interesting.
That's what I thought, because I thought people used it on lands.
You can also branch into artifacts with things like Nevi's Disc and other things, but obviously they're not actually green, it's just things that you can play in green decks that work.
I'm pretty sure that artifacts are green.
ramp, right? So it must be green.
Yeah, they ramp. They're usually overcosted for what they... They're usually overcosted and underwhelming. Eldrazi spawn tokens work really well with them.
Mm-hmm.
I play artifacts in my Omnath deck, and that's mono green. So, obviously, green has the big creatures.
I don't think there are any green colored artifacts, are there?
There are. Birthing Pod.
Yeah, Birthing Pod, I guess, is a colored artifact, even though it's a Phyrexian mana.
Yeah, I know there's a...
And there's a
helmet or whatever that you can pay green mana to equip as an instant
I'm
or not.
I'm looking it up. Behemoth Sledge, Birthing Pod, Bow of Nylea. It's a legendary enchantment artifact, which is green. wow, there's more colored artifacts than I thought. I should actually put green instead of...
Yeah, I mean, because there's the one from... I think there's a creature from New Phyrexia as well that's got green Phyrexian mana in it. I think I'm picturing it. It's like a 4-4 for 6 or something like that.
All right. Firewild Border Post, Mage Slayer, Reaper King, Shardless Agent, Thundering Tanadon is the one you were thinking of. Transguild Courier, yeah, it's technically all colors, and another border post. There you go. Reaper King. Don't forget about Reaper King. I always meant to build a Scarecrow deck. Maybe I'll do it now. But that doesn't really have anything to do with green, except that there are green artifacts.
So, in this, I attempted to go to magiccards.info, and it came up with an error. It says, goblins are attacking us. Magiccards.info is currently unavailable. If you can still see this message in 30 seconds, something is very wrong. There may or may not be someone working on it. You should probably go eat a cookie.
That's a pretty good error message, I'm not going to lie.
Alright, so what other advantages does green have, aside from having big creatures? Talked about before, it can ramp, but what
it's
else?
Not, yeah, it's not just big creatures. It's also very efficient smaller creatures. Really, it's the creature color.
Mm-hmm.
I've often said that green is my favorite color. I think that's still the case. I like a lot of colors, though, but green is one of them. And
probably the color with the least 1/1 tokens, but otherwise it's got every other kind of creature imaginable, pretty much.
Wait, 1/1 tokens? What about, like, sapperlings?
Right, sapperlings. I was thinking of 0/1s, I was thinking of 2/2 wolves, I was thinking...
I always forget that sapperlings are 1/1s.
Yeah.
I always think of sapperlings as 0/1s. For some reason.
Anyway, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, they've got
Heaven Forbid, I Forget Dallas.
2/2 wolves, 3/3 beasts, all sorts of
Voice of Resurgence tokens.
Yeah, XX tokens.
Yeah,
So,
yeah,
like,
I mean, I think
yeah.
token strategies
and then,
are huge.
And then there's, like, ramp combined with creatures, like mana dorks and other creatures that ramp, like elves often do. So you can get a lot of creatures, or big creatures, or lots of creatures that make big creatures. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it pairs really well. Because of that, it pairs really well with other colors.
Right.
So, like, some colors I think of as, like, usually if they're paired with a color, they're a support color, or I sort of, you know, it sort of depends on what they're paired with. Like I think blue a lot of times is, blue or black are a lot of times support colors because they don't necessarily have the best creatures, but they've got a lot of the, sort of the interaction with the stack stuff and card draw and stuff that's like low impact but still important to have in your deck. So green, on the other hand, rarely the only time you're ever splashing green is in some crazy limited or is in some crazy format where either you have Tarmogoyf or, like, last standard you splashed for green for Farseek because because people are crazy.
Yep.
Well, Farseek and Thragtusk. But generally I feel like you don't splash for green.
Mm-hmm.
Green is your primary color and then you splash for a second or it's 50-50. Which is, you know, something I was thinking about today.
And more recently, green got Hexproof. And is seeing it more and more often. I think Hexproof is primary in green.
Yes, yes. Which makes sense because it makes sense that Hexproof would be primary in green because so I read an article somebody said it was when Asceticism was in standard.
Mm.
Yeah,
we used to call it Troll Shroud before it became Hexproof.
Yeah. It was when asceticism was in standard, and the guy, and he was talking about a green deck that somebody was playing, and he said, "So what if all your creatures have hexproof? Your deck gives all of my creatures hexproof as well."
Okay.
Because you didn't have any removal.
Right, doesn't have anything in the dark. Nice.
So that makes sense that green would get hexproof.
Quite applicable because, I mean, a hexproof creature is an advantage when your opponent is playing removal.
Mm-hmm.
And it thus leads to dead cards in their hand.
I know.
But yeah,
but
it
at
is,
the same
is,
but what he was saying, what his point is, it's good to have removal spells in your deck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's good to be able to interact with creatures that either have evasion or otherwise, you know, need to be dealt with that mm-hmm. you can't just deal with in creature combat, because there's definitely
the ability to handle threats.
Yeah, the fact that, and green does have reach, which is like the which I've heard of described as the worst evergreen mechanic.
When you said reach, I thought you meant our capacity to finish a game, but that is not what you mean.
It has that sometimes, yeah.
Which is also funny because it doesn't have reach.
Not generally, no. Trample is a kind of reach.
Yeah.
But it's sure not reach like red has reach. It is a very different kind.
Oh, like I mean, like a spell that gives +X/+X and trample could be considered a reach card.
Certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's some for everything, but the fact that you have. Well, I mean, and if you can have a death touch creature and have it fight, or, I mean, just the fight mechanic. I think when they came out with Prey Upon, and obviously all the other fight stuff since then. Like when they came out with Prey Upon, I saw that card. I was like, this is the green Doomblade.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is going to change everything because you.
You can usually assume in green that you have a bigger creature than they do.
Right. But it is interesting though. What's really funny is that when the mechanic first came out, like people didn't, like I felt like I was crazy awesome because I would fight their creature and then attack with that same creature. Like I'd have a 4/4 and they'd have a 3/3. I'd have them fight and I'd still be able to attack because you feel like you should be, like fighting should count as attacking.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like that mechanic in that it sort of gives green a way to have some sort of removal, sort of like how red has burn spells.
And
like,
it feels very green. It's a very green ability.
Yeah.
It's kind of the worst removal in a way, just because like. You have to have a creature, which you don't for the other things, and you cannot use it up the opponent's face like you can with red or any of those things, but it's still good enough. Like, green can be bad at removal, but that still fills a valid role because it's, green needs something, and that is sufficient. Like,
right. It's sort of like how, like, Sign in Blood is a quote bad divination, like because you're paying the two life. Although Sign in Blood's a bad example, because you can have your opponent do it.
It's a very good divination because it can kill your opponent and it only costs 2 mana.
Well, yeah, but what's the one that costs 3? It's the split card.
The new split card.
Oh, Toil and Trouble. Yeah, but that also does damage straight to the face.
And it also is like two cards.
Yeah.
But imagine, if you will, there's a card that is the same thing as Divination, but it costs 2 and a black, and you have to pay 2 life. It says, pay 2 life, or as an additional cost to cast, cut your wrist, pay 2 life, and draw 2 cards. Actually, I guess if it was cut your wrist, it would probably be paid like 5 life and draw 5
Ladies
cards.
Ladies and gentlemen of the audience, we don't actually condone that, by the way.
It was the name of a fate card.
Yes.
Yes.
Read the bones cost 3, but you also get this guy too.
Yeah. But Campbell's
but card is
you guys get what I'm saying. You would still play that card in the right format, and you would still be perfectly happy about it because it's still card advantage.
Sure.
It's just costed a little bit differently because of the context you're in. You know, obviously the color you can't have a color be just as good at removal, but much better and more efficient with all of its creatures. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
Like, blue's removal tends to be worse than black's, but we're okay with that because you get to play it in a blue deck.
Yeah, well, you know, so is it, blue's removal is different. I don't know about worse. Blue is just blue.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though, is, like, it can be a downside of green and a weak spot without being an entirely blank. Like, there are definitely options.
No,
The fact that they have made the fight mechanic more and more of a thing is a really interesting way to handle it. I agree with what you were saying. What is another downside? Like, green can handle enchantments and artifacts pretty well. How about planeswalkers?
It usually has to attack planeswalkers, although, of course, Beast Within kills them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can't directly destroy a planeswalker.
That's one reason I might recommend putting a Beast Within inside of a lot of my random casual or whatever decks, or even cubes or whatever, just because it's nice for a mostly green player to have outs to stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Beast Within is a thing. And Acidic Slime hits a lot of stuff, too.
Although it's
generally, well, there's probably Magikarz.info isn't working. Or maybe, yeah, it's still not working. Grr. I'm going to have to use Crappy Gatherer.
I don't like Gatherer.
And green does have some things that destroy any permanent, like Desert Twister. So there are certain ways to do it. But
what's the... Okay, let's look at the advanced search. Let's see. Rules text. Destroy. Target. Non-creature. Permanent. Colors. Green. Search. Bramble Crush.
Oh, right. That's a good one.
Chain of Acid. Mold Shambler. Nijin Demolok. Which is actually Nijin Demolok is in my intro pack league.
Hmm. Nephium?
Root Grapple. Sylvan Primordial. Terastodon. Woodfall Primus. All destroy non-creature permanents.
Like planeswalkers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was what I was getting at.
Yes.
I think I play a Bramble Crush in one of my something in my Omnath deck, or I used to.
Bramble Crush is actually probably a very good budget option as well, because I imagine that that's probably one of the cheapest cards that has this effect, money-wise.
Exists ever.
Yeah.
It's uncommon from... Oh, it was printed twice from Innistrad and M14.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Mold Shambler, I think, is a common... I mean, I don't think any of these are...
I mean, I can see Beast Within being a little bit more money, but not a ton.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because Gatherer doesn't have prices.
I remember I have specifically opted not to buy Beast Within because it costs too much for my budget for a deck. So, that's all I meant.
I'm sure, could be. Yeah, don't buy Beast Within. Play Bramble Crush.
Huh.
Candy Crush.
So.
But that's the thing, is they destroy non-creature permanents, sometimes they're listed like acidic slime, and sometimes it's just any non-creature permanence. Also, green can take out flyers.
Yes, green handles flyers very well for a deck that no longer tends to have its own after, you know, the first couple of sets.
Yeah. I mean, there are very, very, very few flying green creatures. Yes. And many of them are bad.
Scripts,
because right. I tried to have green flyers in my Omnath deck.
Some of them are good, though, like Jugin. The dragon. The 5/5 for 6 flying dragon spirit from Kamigawa. When it dies, you may distribute 5 +1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures.
Oh, yeah.
And there are...
And there are some good flyers that are partially green, like multicolored flyers.
Mm-hmm. And there are also
right,
some green
flyers. Playing multicolors, you may as well just play the other color.
There are also some green creatures that can only be blocked by creatures with flying or creatures with reach, like the one from Innistrad, the Spirit.
That's pretty rare, though.
Yeah, but there have been at least a couple.
Signal Pest!
Yeah.
Silhanna Ledgewalker.
Mm-hmm. So there are a couple of them if you're trying to get that kind of effect. So there is some degree of green evasion, although evasion is pretty rare for green. Green doesn't tend to have intimidate. Green doesn't tend to have flying, obviously, like we were talking about.
Green will have intimidate. And
it doesn't tend to have a shadow. Just saying.
Okay.
Trample is its primary form of evasion.
I think I know one card with shadow. it's the Looter Ill. I think it's called Looter Ilkor.
Yeah,
it's like a 1/1.
Whatever it is, it's not green.
It's blue, but that is the only card I know that has shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Except for there's a sliver that gives all slivers shadow. So then, if you have green slivers, then they'll have shadow.
There are 4 green creatures with intimidate.
Yeah, but one of them gives all your creatures intimidate.
All your green creatures intimidate.
All your green creatures intimidate. Oh, yeah. I don't know. That surprises me that there's not more. Because I think of intimidate as being a... I mean, it's obviously the primarily a black, but, I mean, you never see white creatures with intimidate.
Back when I was a kid, we had fear.
There are some in white, but...
There's a few in every color.
Sure, I was going to say...
I can think of, I think, one. There's, like, a human from Innistrad with Intimidate, and that's...
There's one in Modern Masters, but it's not worded as Intimidate. It just says can only be blocked by white or artifact creatures. And that one is a rebel. But, so, yeah, there are certainly options. But, again, it's not a main thing in green.
I can't think of any blue creatures with Intimidate.
Yeah, but blue certainly has other kinds of evasion.
No, it doesn't. Blue doesn't have flying.
So, Kendall, what is your favorite?
But green has trample, so that's evasion. I mean, trample is basically evasion.
Mm-hmm. So, Kendall, what is your favorite green card?
My favorite green card?
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. Oh, Genesis Wave.
Nice, that's a good one. How about you, Ian?
Depends on the day. I really like I like Thrun the Last Troll a lot.
Oh God,
he's so hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Sigarda cake for a while because she's not pure green, but she is green. What else? Those are like probably my favorite two, but
nice.
There are many.
I definitely. The first card off the top of my head is probably Vraska the Unseen.
That is a pretty sweet
planeswalker.
That was a green black.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
I like Cloud Thresher a lot.
He's Cloud Thresher's up there?
Yeah, 7/7 flash reach for 6 with Evoke he has like a hurricane effect for 2.
Mm-hmm. The one that I prefer, though, is the 7/7 from Rise of the Eldrazi that gains you 7 life when it enters the battlefield.
Blackworm. Yeah, Blackworm's very good. It even draws you a card when it dies.
Yeah, which takes some doing.
There's this other green creature I like called Rampaging Baloths.
Yep.
It costs 6, and it's like a 6/6 trample, and its landfall trigger is you get a 4/4 beast.
See, I always liked the common one of that, the Baloth. I can't remember what it's called now. But the one that gets +4/+4 and trample on landfall. Oh, it's uncommon?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's not rare. I remember that I don't think I have a Rampaging... Or I think I do have a Rampaging Baloth now. I think it was in one of the Commander decks.
So, Rampaging Baloth, I happened to play in Zendikar... I don't know. It was pre-release, probably. And it was the promo card. And they had more promo cards than players, so they kept handing me them every time I won in a round. So I walked away from that place with, like, I don't know, 6 copies of Rampaging Baloth.
Nice.
It was ridiculous. But, yeah, so I have a lot of them.
Yeah, I liked the... I'm going to have to look up... Baloth Woodcrasher, that's what it is. I liked that because you could Genesis Wave into multiple lands, and then he'd be really big, and you'd kill your opponents. I just really liked when I was able to Genesis Wave and have landfall triggers. That just... It just made my life better.
Yeah, so you get something on the lands right away as well.
Yeah.
It's like now free spells.
Now Genesis Wave just stays in my... Just stays in my... EDH deck.
On this.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever resolved it.
Is there any landfall in that deck?
There's probably a Baloth Woodcrasher. There's a Colony Heart Expedition,
okay.
I'm sure. Like, I mean, there's probably, like, the handful of stuff in there, but, yeah, Genesis Wave. Yeah. That's interesting, though. Aside from Colony Heart and I'm totally drawing a blank on it. What's like the? It's like a snake or something that
Lotus Cobra
is good. Lotus Cobra, yeah.
Okay.
Aside from Colony Heart and Lotus Cobra and the two Balofs, there's not a lot of green landfall that jumps out. I mean, I guess maybe there just isn't a lot of landfall in general that are like super iconic cards. I mean, blood gas.
There's
and,
a quest for the Jumble Ages Green, right? Isn't that a landfall?
I don't think that's on a landfall.
Maybe
I think
not.
That's
it's like
isn't Quest for Gemblades like
when
creatures
deal
damage
yeah.
to each other?
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. You're right.
That's why, and it has to take like, and it take like, doesn't it take like 5? It's like. I'm looking it up on the Inferior Magic website.
I find it useful. There's Avenger of Zendikar has landfall. It was popular for a while.
Oh, okay. Okay, so
right, yeah.
I guess if there's like 5... No, Avengers of Zendikar is relevant to casual.
And
I guess if there's like 5 key green landfall cards, that's actually a decent amount
uh-huh.
for... Compared with... with non-green ones, because there's, like, Steplinx, and the one that has the same thing as Steplinx.
Play Geopede.
and Bloodgast, so those are the only other landfall cards I can think of.
You know, that's actually
oh, and there's the angel,
though.
There's the angel that gets a, like, a bird token.
The Myria angel.
Myria,
yeah.
Okay, so Quest for Gemblades only requires one quest counter, but still, it's like whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a creature,
mm-hmm.
you can put a counter on the Quest for Gemblades, which is just like so awkward.
It's pretty. I don't know.
And then you sacrifice it for 4+ counters. I don't know. Just the way I don't think I've ever actually resolved it.
It can be good. It's just a question of does your opponent have much removal, etc.
I just that trigger just to me is just where it's awkward.
Sure.
forcing you to, I mean, obviously you can play it, and then if you're, I think it would be really good in limited, if you're just going back and forth, but
it's not that great. Like in a
casual
a
multiplayer game, in an EDH game, or in a, just if you're, because I always wanted to play it in like a big green deck. I mean, first of all, you want to be playing a rampant growth effect on turn two, but call me art.
It feels a little bit like the little brother of Umezawa's Jitte. Like, you need to have combat happen, and then it gets really good. But
Umezawa's Jitte is good.
Yeah, Umezawa's Jitte does not require creatures dealing damage to creatures. It just requires creatures dealing
combat damage.
That is why it feels similar, is all I'm saying.
The equipment is out of control. It's banned in Modern for a reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so what other green things? How do you feel about green planeswalkers?
I think that the green planeswalkers I like the blue planeswalkers too, and the black ones.
I like all the Garrick's.
But I think, Garrick's the only mono green one.
That's right? Not true. There's like Nissa.
Oh, God,
Nissa? Nissa? What's Nissa? I've never heard of Nissa.
Nissa, you wish you were as good as Tybalt.
No, Nissa's not bad.
Nissa requires a very, very specific deck.
Yeah, you need to be playing an elf deck with four copies of Nissa's Chosen in it, but, you know, it's just not horrible.
And the elf deck...
I've heard that
Nissa's Chosen is getting worse as newer and better creatures are coming out.
What I've heard, and I've not personally played with Nissa. I probably played against it, but the way that I sort of feel like is usually when people have elf tribal decks, they're just too strong for a 60 card multiplayer. Mm-hmm. Like people can't even my Genesis Wave elf ball deck was pushing it, and that was just a standard deck.
I wonder if I have any copies of Nissa.
but it seems like if you're playing, and then she can be really degenerate if you're playing elves, like if you're actually playing elves, but I've heard of people playing her like just in a green deck that has four copies of Nissa's Chosen, but that's all.
I don't think she does enough, right? Plus one tutors for Nissa's Chosen and puts it onto the battlefield. Then shuffle your library. Her other plus one is gain two life for each elf you control. And she has a -7, which is search your library for any number of elves and put them onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I mean, she gets
cost four,
and this is chosen as a 3/2, right?
2/3 for two, like Elvish Warrior.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 2/3 is not as good as a 3/2.
Yep.
I was thinking it was a 3/2.
I was trying to come up with a way.
Maybe there will be another card that's named Nissa's Chosen.
That would actually be kind of awesome, but they don't really do the naming other cards the same thing as other cards thing, so.
Yet. I'm talking about in like 10 years.
Maybe they would errata it or something, then I'd buy it, but no.
I do think that Garrick Wildspeaker, Garrick Primal Hunter, and Garrick Relentless, I really like all three of those. The new
awesome.
Garrick, I haven't seen in action enough.
I think her problem is she's getting plus one. She has to be out for like 5 turns before she can ultimate, and she's not doing that much in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she's gaining you a bunch of life if you're playing a lot of elves, but... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, she actually, now that I'm actually looking at her, because I was just sort of regurgitating what I've heard other people say, I think that if you had a crappy elf deck, you could play one of her in there. Or if you were playing an elf EDH deck or something, like, I think there's probably a place in casual for her. She's better than Tybalt. Because her abilities do what you want her to do.
I actually think she's better in Gaia. If you're, like, trying to play competitively, then you have better things you can do with those slots, so she's better for a casual deck.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's just that searching up Nissa's Chosen, if Nissa's Chosen is just a, it's just a 2/3 that, like, goes onto the bottom of your library when it dies, right? So I guess, well, I guess she could keep, you bring one out and they kill it, and then she brings it back out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah. Her ultimate is like you just win the game.
Yeah, you should win.
If you're playing the right game.
Yeah.
If you're playing the right deck. It doesn't even have to be, like, some planeswalkers, it's like if the board state is correct. Some planeswalkers, it's no matter what.
Well, it's worth saying that.
But with her, I think that's like if you're playing the right deck.
It's worth saying though that if she doesn't, if you don't have any way to give them haste, you still have to go a turn before you can kill with them.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but there's, but green, you know, green and red can give haste. Yeah, I think I would probably. If I was playing the Nissa Limit Break deck, I would figure out a way to give my creatures haste. I have a feeling. I think she's fun. But no, but let's, we talked about her enough. Garrick, I think so. Garrick Wildspeaker, I think, is one of the best designed planeswalkers. I think Garrick Wildspeaker. So what were the original five? It was
Garrick, Jace, Beleriand,
Jace,
Chandra,
Ajani,
and Liliana. Liliana, which is pretty bad.
Original
Liliana is pretty bad. I don't remember Ajani.
Ajani, like, was actually not too bad. His +1 was gain 2 life, which is kind of sucky. But his -1 is put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control, and they gain vigilance until end of turn. And his -6 was get an avatar creature token on the battlefield with this creature's power and toughness are equal to your life total. And he cost 4 and had 4 starting loyalty. I think he's not bad.
That's not bad, but it's not.
It's not great, but
it's not what I'm getting to. The Chandra wasn't very good either. I don't remember what she did.
Oh, she costs 5 and has 6 starting loyalty, +1 does 1 damage to target player, -X is X damage to target creature, and -8 mm-hmm. is 10 damage to target player and each creature they control.
Right.
It's not the worst. I've definitely seen it in cube.
The point is Garrick and Jace from that group are not even, and the great thing about those two planeswalkers that I don't think has really been done since, at least not to that extent, is they're really well designed in that they do really cool things,
mm-hmm.
but they're not like just, you know, win the game broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, I mean, as cool as Karn is, like Karn, if you resolve a Karn and they don't have an answer to it,
It's
bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Garrick, he ramps you a little bit. Maybe he puts out a little creature.
Maybe he
does a little overrun effect. But if he does the overrun effect, you see it coming.
Yeah.
I like Garrick Wildspeaker really like a lot, and he can do the overrun the second turn he's at.
I think that is one of my favorites.
Which is turn 5,
yeah.
You know.
And, he's very, yeah. I still play him in my main red-green.
And Primal, I mean, I think Primal Hunter, I really like Primal Hunter, because he's like, the thing I realized about Primal Hunter, and Ian, you saw this in the Omni. I think you were there when I played the Omni.
Sometimes
deck
best just to play him and immediately use his minus ability and sacrifice and draw him to draw a bunch of cards. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
5 mana, draw a bunch of cards in green is not terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized, too, I have, I got this, foil, I can't remember what the name of the card is, but there's a foil 8/8 for 9 from Kamigawa that I got in my Kamigawa pack that I bought a while back.
Ian, Kamigawa, go.
And, what'd you say?
Ian tends to know every card in Kamigawa, so I figured I would, see if he did off the top of his head.
Well, I'll tell you what the card does, and Ian will know what it's called,
yeah,
I'm sure. Because he recognized the card, because I opened it on the episode. But it comes into play with, like, a, I think it was, like, a divinity counter on it or something like that.
Myogens.
And, yeah, Myogen, yeah, the green Myogen.
The green one is Life's Web, yeah.
So, Ian knows it.
I used to play it.
So you remove the divinity counter and you can drop as many creatures from your hand as you want. So what
right.
I want to do,
it's indestructible.
When I live the dream, is to have him either, one or the other, have him and Garrick out,
mm-hmm.
draw 8 cards, because he's an 8/8, and then remove the divinity counter and put all the creatures onto the battlefield.
Nice.
I think that will be the dream. And then the next turn, top deck a Genesis Wave, and win the game. I don't know. But green. Yeah, and then Garrick Relentless, also always really liked.
My only problem with Garrick Relentless is he feels so fragile. Right, by the time.
Well, the thing is, you have to think of him as a removal spell.
Yeah, but you run him out and you use a removal spell, and you're lucky if he's at 1 loyalty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I would think of him as a removal spell. Like, he's a 4 mana lightning bolt.
But I wouldn't pay 4 mana for a lightning bolt.
In green.
Even in green. He was in the same block as Beast Within.
No, he wasn't. He was in
Apple. Oh, you're right.
He was
in
Shaw Block. He was within. He was in Scar's Block.
How about pairings? Green with blue tends to be crazy ramp decks, right? Like explore kind of lots of snakes, kind of get up to huge creatures decks. Green-red tends to be aggressive creatures that hit you with haste. Green-black is often value
the
creatures.
Rock.
Yeah, so you get lots of creatures that do something when they enter the battlefield or leave the battlefield, and sometimes you get to reanimate them with black.
Or you have efficient. I think we talked about this on the black episode. You have efficient creatures.
Yeah.
Because black has efficiently costed creatures with a downside.
And then
green just has efficiently costed creatures
with green mana.
And then
temples,
also black gives you access to the removal spells.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So green-white is a less common pairing, but when it comes up, it tends to have, like, token creatures a lot of times.
I would say it's less common.
Yeah.
I mean,
green-white's, like, the most common.
Yeah.
You think?
Yes, definitely.
You play with different groups than I do. Tell me more.
I mean, freaking,
Slesnia.
Whatchamacallit, the plus one counters. Shoot, what's the card that I'm thinking of? The
land,
the Innistrad land that gives plus one counters.
Sure.
Davening Counter.
Davening Counter.
Like, those decks were, like, all over everything. I feel like green and white go closest together because white is basically just green. Like, it's just it doesn't quite have as much ramp.
Well, they complement each other very well because they have good creatures. They have good efficient creatures.
Mm-hmm.
White has some removal. Green covers, you know, some of white's weaknesses. White covers some of green's weaknesses. They play very well together. And there's a lot of very good green-white multicolored cards, like Voice of Resurgence, Loxodon Smiter, Watch Wolf. You know, tons of stuff.
Sure. It is also Innistrad is the only time when I remember green-white being a real deck. like in a limited format. But that's just for the last few years.
I think I played green white in M12.
Green white is not common in M12. Green white happens in Return to Ravnica. The Guild Mage can certainly just win on its own, but it's still one of the less common pairings, I think.
No, in triple Return to Ravnica, green white was Selesnya was you had to either everyone went for it, like it was the best, but it was just that it was hard because everyone went to it. I think it was the most common deck that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
In triple Return.
Yeah, I guess Return is not. It is a thing in Return, but it just feels like it's less common of a thing than like blue white or green red aggro or some.
I don't know. I mean green and white are allies.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So historically, it's going to have more. There's going to be more synergy between green and white than some of the others. So it's going to be green and white and green and red. Are going to be where most of the synergy is because they're allies.
Sure. Maybe that's kind of why I wasn't thinking of green white decks specifically, is they do the same thing so pardon me, so often.
Yeah. It's a mono green deck. It just has planes in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just has planes and white cards in it.
You.
Yeah. When it's and it might have an Oblivion Ring. That's a card.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
But yeah.
Do we have any other thoughts on green? Any other aspects we want to mention?
In fact, this is something. I think it is relevant because. It's definitely, you know, blue and black are definitely the colors of Mill, and green and black are definitely the primary colors for Infect. And
Wither.
For Wither as well, is that,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's a fair amount of green Wither.
Okay. So that's, you know, which makes sense. I think that, it's important to note. It's just always important to note that because I think Infect is one of those mechanics that even though it probably won't come back the same way for a long time, I think it had a big enough impact on players. It's really interesting to me to see, just like when I play a modern deck or when I play a casual deck or something, and people don't understand how Infect works.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like that is just like. Was such a big part of the new player and casual player of that era. You know, everybody who started in Scars Block had an Infect deck. If you started playing in Scars Block.
Sure.
And people were actually really surprised, myself included, when there was no Infect in M12. Yeah, in fact, for those who are
uninitiated,
not in the know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, is a pretty interesting mechanic where you have creatures that are way really crappy and overcosted, but they deal damage in poison counters instead of regular damage, and in creature combat they deal -1/-1 counters, which is, you know, cool.
Green.
And if you get 10 poison counters, you lose the game. So, unfortunately, I feel like in practice, Infect lended itself a lot to combo. Because if you have enough giant growth effects, then you just win by hitting somebody once. But, like, that's why I've really liked playing my Infect EDH deck. I'm able to like play some of the, like, you know, the 4-mana Infect creatures or the 6-mana Infect creatures that are
that you don't get to see otherwise.
Yeah, and you get to actually like use Proliferate, which is a mechanic that lets you increase the number of poison counters and and minus one counters that everybody has, which I also always like to proliferate for that. And green has some proliferate.
It is interesting because a lot of green's mechanics have to do with when their creatures deal damage to opponents. Like, green has some instances of the looter that, not looter, the card that will draw a card if it hits the opponent, but it also has death touch. And, in fact, like Kendall was talking about, and Wither, like Ian was talking about, so it seems like they're all to deal with, like, when creatures touch things. Green is the touchy color. Yep.
Well, it's the combat color.
Green is the touchy color.
Right. Right.
Creature combat.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Uh-huh. Okay. So yeah, that's green. I think we sort of got as much as we wanted to talk about it.
St. Patrick would be proud.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep. So you can like us on Facebook. I'm at K Hallman on Twitter. Ian is at Lord of the Slith. Will is at Chew Tur. Kitchen Finks Podcast at gmail.com. And until next time,
don't be
a kitchen fink.